welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We are in our season of Epiphany, and some years the season of Epiphany is very short, especially when Easter is early. This year the season of Epiphany is very long because Easter, Lent, Ash Wednesday are all very late. So we'll have an opportunity to hear and reflect upon some portions of the Bible that we don't get a chance to every year. We pray that God would bless us during this season of Epiphany, this season of revelation, this season of light. And that light is Jesus Christ. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, 410, Within the Father's House. We'll see Jesus, 12 years old, doing what all 12-year-old boys should be doing, hanging on the Word of God in church. Isn't that pretty cool? Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the light no darkness can overcome. We thank you for the way that he distributes the gifts that he has won for us in the waters of holy baptism. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to teach us to return to the baptismal waters each and every day, to drown and die there with all of our sins and passions and evil lusts, and rise to newness of life in you, the light of the world. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Hymn 410.
divine service setting 3, page 184 in your hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
As you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the introit as it's printed in our bulletin. We'll sing it together.
Yeah.
be to God on high. Receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after the Epiphany is from 1 Kings chapter 8. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. And the poles were so long that the end of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord had made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak now the gradual appointed for today. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone has done wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia, in verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess now our one faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 409.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading that we heard just a moment ago, Romans 12, verses 1 through 5, especially these words. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps like me, when you hear these words, you have a paradox. What in the world is a living sacrifice? I may not know much about sacrifices, but I know, as I skim through the Bible, that every sacrifice ends up the same way. Dead. Dead. Quick fried to a crispy crunch on top of the altar of God. Dead. This is what a sacrifice does. A sacrifice is sacrificed. It's dead. It's offered in homage or to a false god as payment. But the sacrifice is consumed. It is dead. I went to that leading authority for all things defining, dictionary.com. Here is what a sacrifice is. The offering of an animal, plant, or human life, or of some material possession to a deity, as in a propitiation or homage. Propitiation, atoning sacrifice, payback. Definition number two, the person, animal, or thing so offered. So, sacrifice is a noun, or a verb, I'm going to sacrifice something, or a noun, this is what I'm going to sacrifice. And finally, the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. You sacrifice for someone else. You give up something, like giving up something for Lent, making a sacrifice. So there you have it. You don't have to go very far in the pages of the Bible to read about sacrifice. Right off the bat, we have a sacrifice, kind of a battle of sacrifices between Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel offered sacrifices to the one true God. Abel's sacrifice was received by God. Cain's was not. Cain got angry and murdered Abel. Maybe we ought to stay away from this sacrifice thing. It gets you in trouble. People look at this and they say, oh, well, you know, Cain didn't give enough or didn't give 10% or he just gave the leftovers. He didn't give the best. How easy it is to try to read our modern notions in to God's holy and inspired word. The book of Hebrews tells us what the problem was. Cain did not offer his sacrifice in faith. Abel did. End of story. A few chapters later, the sacrifice thing is before us again. When we hear of Noah and the ark and the animals, most people would say, in answer to the question, how many animals did Noah take on the ark? They would say, two of each. Read the Bible. That's not correct. Two of each except for some animals, when God said, take seven of each. Why? Because when you are delivered, you will offer up these animals, these extra animals that you don't need for procreation, you will offer them up as burnt offerings unto the Lord. On Mount Sinai, God gave a very, very intricate, somewhat complicated sacrificial system that the people of God were to follow. Sheep, goats, bulls, pigeons, doves, some on a more regular basis, some only once a year. Imagine serving on the altar guild. Imagine the smell. Imagine the blood. This was a natural way of life as people came into God's house to worship. The sight, the smell, the sound of animals being offered, the blood flowing. Was this to shock people into believing? Of course not. Every one of these sacrifices was meant to teach and to have people look forward to what John the Baptist clearly pointed out. Behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the once and for all sacrifice for sin. My friends, we know all about sacrificing in the Old Testament. It was bloody, it was gory, it was smelly, it was gruesome, and it pointed forward to Jesus. Jesus, who offered himself on the altar of Calvary's cross. Jesus, who paid for the sin of the world, Jew and Gentile alike, all sin, past, present, and future. He paid for your sin and my sin. This past Wednesday night, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. How our Lord became one with us, who was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus didn't sin. Jesus had no need for forgiveness. But he became one with us, the great exchange, exchanging his righteousness for our sin, delivering to us forgiveness, life, and salvation in the baptismal waters, full and free. My friends, God has delivered you from sin, death, and the power of the devil by the greatest sacrifice that the world has ever seen, Jesus Christ. We look at God's word for today, and the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching us. You want to be a Christian? You want to live the Christian life? Here's how. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What? What in the world is a living sacrifice? Haven't we just uncovered the fact that all sacrifices are dead? My friends, there is one sacrifice that is not dead. Jesus, who sacrificed himself on Calvary's cross, did not stay dead. Jesus, consumed, quick fried to a crispy crunch by God's fierce wrath, by the fire of his anger on Calvary's cross, the stone-cold dead body of Jesus laid in a tomb. And 3 days later, the sacrifice that was dead, the body of Jesus Christ, is alive, never to die again. You want to know what a living sacrifice is? It's Jesus. And now God says to live the Christian life is to be a living sacrifice. To be a living sacrifice. Well, we can't be Jesus. We already flunked that test by being born a poor, miserable sinner. Maybe we could just like try really hard to lead a good life, to be a good person. 10 steps for holy living, 12 steps for being a better member of the church. Maybe we could just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and become really, really ethical people in a time when vice is more important than virtue. God's word won't allow that either, will it? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. God desires our living sacrifice to be holy, pleasing, and acceptable to God. How can a sinful human being like you or me do anything holy? We can't. Everything we do, no matter how noble, is tainted by sin. There must be something more going on in our text for today. You know, it's really interesting that God's word teaches us here in this first verse of Romans 12 what worship is. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice is a Christian's spiritual worship. You know, so often when we think of worship, and the word here for spiritual worship is our word liturgy. So often when we think of worship, we think of, well, what order of service are we doing? 5 or 15, 158, 178, 151, 184. Are you going to make it up on your own? How silly. How silly to get into those kinds of arguments and debates. God's love for us is clear, and the rhythm is His love for us and our response back to Him. Our response isn't 60 or 75 minutes a week in the formal divine service where God is delivering the gifts to us. It's outside of this house as we live in our vocations, husband, wife, son, daughter, mom, dad, citizen, neighbor, church member. This is where we take this new life that God has given us in Jesus Christ and we live it in service, love toward God, but service toward our neighbor. God doesn't need our living sacrifice. Our neighbor does. My friends, today, God is teaching us that as we are in Christ, as we have been baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only is Jesus a living sacrifice, you are a living sacrifice. What? Oh, I get it. This is one of those get out your checkbook moments, right? Repent. What do you have that God wants you to sacrifice? He owns everything. He owns the mountains. He owns the land. He owns the animals. He owns your portfolio. He owns you. He owns everything. What is it that you could possibly sacrifice to God? There's only one thing. Are you ready? Buckle up. This is what you are called to sacrifice to the one true God. Your old Adam. Your old Adam. You know that part that lives inside of you that says, it's okay to do this. Oh, it's okay to do that. That old Adam that cannot be housebroken, that cannot be trained, that old Adam that it can only be conquered by sacrifice, by death. Earlier in Romans chapter 6, God calls us to return to the baptismal font each and every day. You memorized it in Luther's Small Catechism, part 4 of baptism. What does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam inside of us, if you want to call it the old Eve, that's okay. We can be gender inclusive with this one, right? That old Adam or old Eve inside of us must die, drowned, with all of its sins and passions and evil lusts, and come forth a new creation. My friends, the Christian life is really quite simple. Dying to ourselves, living to God, and in service to one another. This is what it looks like. This is what God calls us to do. We don't strive to live a holy life so God will like us or maybe forgive us. God cannot like you any more than he already has by sending Jesus to bleed and die for you. God cannot forgive you any more than the full and free forgiveness that he has earned in Jesus and delivered in word and sacraments. It is yours. And now, in the freedom that is yours in Christ Jesus, God calls us to live a Christian life, to live a holy life. And if you are unwilling to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, you are thumbing your nose at the living sacrifice that is Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you. What does this holy life look like? What does this living sacrifice result in? That's the whole chapter of Romans 12. More than 30 imperative statements God gives to tell us and to teach us how to live. We get a few of them in our text. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You get that? Humility. Humility. We think too much of ourselves. We are stuck on ourselves. When we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, God's gift of humility will live and dwell and overflow through us. God then teaches us that, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are one. We are one, one body. Each has different gifts. Each has different talents and abilities to use in our love and faith toward God and service toward one another. And God calls us to work together in the body of Christ in the same way that our bodies, when they are healthy, work, run, play, laugh, beat in perfect harmony through God's perfect creation. Let me give you just a little bit of a flavor for what this living sacrifice will look like. Notice what I said? Will look like in your life. Where our text leaves off is verse 5. Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. To the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. What a wonderful laundry list of the body of Christ working in harmony with one another, serving and loving. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful, that's lazy, in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. It goes on and on and on. Every aspect of our life individually, our life in our families, our life corporately as the body of Christ, our life outside of these walls as we live and move and interact with those who do not know Christ. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then the clincher, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. My friends, doing these things will not get you into heaven. Doing these things will not earn or merit favor or justification before the one true God. Christ has already done that for you. He has fulfilled Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 John 4, all of the love and law chapters of Scripture. He's done that for you. He's kept it perfectly. He's given you His righteousness. And now He calls you and me and all Christians everywhere to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Can you imagine how much easier it would be to sleep at night for yourself if you could do this? Can you imagine how much more pleasant your family life would be if you would do that? Can you imagine what your neighborhood, what our county or state or country would look like if Christians would simply offer themselves as living sacrifices? Can you imagine what our congregation would look like? No more empty pews. No more budget shortfalls. Standing room only voters assemblies. It's a funny thought, right? My friends, God's love for you is real. As real as the bloody death and sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. God's love for you is as real as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Your forgiveness is sure and certain in Jesus Christ. And now in Jesus, by the grace of God, by His mercies which never end, let us offer ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the very word of God. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our sacrifices in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. There's only one way that we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, and that's as if we have a new heart. The old heart doesn't want any part of that. Thanks be to God, that's exactly what He gives us. We sing our offertory, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," page 192. Please stand as you're able. In the name of Jesus, this time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you made it out on a snowy, icy day. We want to acknowledge your presence in worship with us today. Please share with us your mailing address, and we'll do that for you. Also, want to welcome those who are worshiping with us on the radio today. These kind of days mean a few more people worshiping on the radio or worldwide on the internet. We pray that the good news of Christ's living sacrifice for you would fill you with forgiveness, life, and salvation today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
please stand. In addition to those prayer requests listed in our bulletin, we also include Declan Smith dealing with some health issues. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you alone are worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere. And on this day, we give you humble and sincere thanks for all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially this day for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine. Provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it, and therefore to offer themselves as living sacrifices in love and service to their neighbor. Send laborers into your harvest. Open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace upon all the nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all of those who are in authority over us. Bless our president, our congressmen and women, our governor and legislators, and all of those who make and defend our laws. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you also the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, bringing forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from calamity by fire, water, war, pestilence, scarcity, famine, or from any other sort of evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, the comforter of the distressed and all of those who sorrow. Be especially with those in our own midst dealing with difficulties, including Al, Kim, Harlan, Laverne, Mark, Deb, Janet, Kylan, Megan, Irma, Shirley, Denise, Jared, Louise, Bryn, Lucas, Victor, Matthew, Lori, Declan, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, hearts and minds, talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are but strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by a true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world that is to come, doing the work that you have given us to do while it is still day, before the night comes when no one can work. When our last hour does come, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This time we continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, You have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn. Oh.
You know, it's not a sin to sit for that hymn. Yeah. Just so everybody knows, you are free in the gospel. It's kind of like Lutherans and a Mighty Fortress. We kind of look at that as the national anthem, and some people just feel very, very guilty sitting while they sing A Mighty Fortress. It is certainly indifferent. All right. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. Lots of stuff happening over the days and weeks ahead. We pray that the weather will cooperate with those things. We have a sign-up sheet out there. We need some volunteers for the Pediatric Cancer Action Network fundraiser pancake feed. Say that three times fast. That's February 5th, 4 to 7. We need lots of help and helping hands. for that. There are several other activities and things that are coming. The outline on the front of the news and notes will give you the highlights, and the guts will be on the inside. Check that out. Also, we have Sunday school opening in here, and kids are already gone getting their goodies. About 5 minutes or so, we'll have our Sunday school opening. Coffee and goodies for all ages in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study today. We continue our look at the book of Romans in the fellowship hall. We're finishing up Romans chapter 2 and Summary of Christian Doctrine in room 109. Pastor, what are we studying today?
We're going to finish talking about the person of the Holy Spirit who creates and sustains faith. And then we're going to talk about how he calls, gathers, and enlightens us in the church and what the church is and why we're here as a congregation.
Okay, so you could have just said third article of the creed, but all right, and Vicar will be with the youth. Again, check out all the opportunities for service. We pray that God would bless us as together we are living sacrifices in Christ's name in the church. Have a great day and week in Christ Jesus.